The tall, dark woman striding through Patchcock Station's concourse toward them in a halo of swirling reds and purples reminded Harris of someone. She couldn't think who.
Cecilia, so glad to see you.
Marta, it's been years.
Cecilia turned to Harris.
Raffaella's aunt, Marta Sines. So, they called you too?
Not exactly. Rafa sent me a message saying she was going to Patchcock with Ronnie and George to follow up a mission for Bunny. I landed on Bunny because, as far as I'm concerned, he had no business risking Rafa on any harebrained missions. And frankly, my dear, he was already scared out of his wits because of Atala. You did know about Atala?
Yes.
And so I said I'd come here, but I wanted help. And he said he'd get your Captain Serrano, whom I presume is you.
Marta turned to Harris.
Yes.
Rafa's Aunt Marta was clearly someone of importance. If she could pressure Lord Thornbuckle to ask favors of her Aunt Admiral. But did she use a title?
I just got off the commercial flight a few hours ago and saw that your yacht was listed as incoming, so I waited. I haven't tried to call yet. I thought I'd see what Captain Serrano advised.
Her glance at Harris combined deference and command.
No harm in calling, I wouldn't think.
I'll do it.
They followed Marta to a row of comm booths and waited while she made her call. Harris wondered again if she should have brought along some of her crew and reminded herself again that she and Cecilia had booked the last two seats on the next down shuttle. When Marta opened the door of the booth, her face had a dangerous expression that erased all musings from Harris's mind.
You won't believe this. They're under arrest.
What?
For murder and attempted sexual assault.
Ronnie? George? Rafa?
According to the hotel security chief, they tried to get four hotel employees to engage in, and I quote, unnatural and lascivious acts against their will, then tried to beat them into submission, and then shot two of them. George apparently had the gun.
George is Kevil Mahoney's son. If he had shot someone, he wouldn't be caught holding the weapon.
We'll see about this. They're not holding my niece.
Or my nephew.
Or George.
If George had had an aunt, she would have said it. The waiting lounge for the down shuttle was decorated with the ugliest ceramics Harris had ever seen. It filled slowly, though it didn't seem to hold a full shuttle load. Perhaps they had small shuttles here, or perhaps there was a heavy cargo load. Cecilia and Marta paced back and forth. Harris sat and watched them. The time for scheduled departure came and went. People began to grumble. Grumbles mounted as time passed.
Oh, we always have to wait if they're coming. It's got to be family. It's always family.
Harris kept an eye out along the corridor and soon spotted the likeliest candidate, a short, bunchy, gray-haired woman swathed in layers of uneven soft colors. Behind her, a harried-looking man trundled a dolly loaded with boxes and soft luggage. Sure enough, when she entered the lounge, the signal light came on for boarding. Harris picked up her own duffel and caught Cecilia's eye. But Cecilia and Marta were staring at the newcomer. They pounced before she could move past the others in the lane cleared for her by flight attendants.
Venezia!
She turned, her wrinkled face lighting up.
Cecilia! Marta, how lovely to see you! I didn't know you were coming.
Why did you...
Let's get aboard first.
Harris grabbed Cecilia's elbow and pushed. Cecilia let herself be guided into the clear lane behind Venezia. Marta closed in behind Harris. The shuttle was full only because Venezia had reserved an entire section. Cecilia and Marta followed her into it as by right, settled into the wide, padded seats. Harris noticed that the attendants didn't challenge them.
Venezia, my nephew is down there on your planet being accused of murder that he didn't do.
And my niece locked up in your filthy police station.
What do you know about this?
Yes, what?
Venezia shivered as if she were a leaf dancing in storm winds.
I don't know anything. I just got here from Gwenny. When I asked Rafa to come here and investigate, I had no idea.
You asked her?
It seemed Nobody would tell me anything about Otala, and I thought maybe she'd done something foolish, like a girl might do, and Rafa being young, maybe she'd figured it out.
You sent her into danger, my niece.
And my nephew.
I didn't know it was dangerous. I thought Otala had just run away, perhaps fallen in love with an unsuitable young man the way Rafaela did.
Ronnie is not unsuitable.
Rafa did not run away.
And I still want to know what happened to Otala.
Marta and Cecilia looked at each other, then at Harris, then at Venezia.
You know, don't you?
Not for sure. But what is known is that she infiltrated a workers' organization after having skin sculpting to match her appearance to the Finvardian workers on Patchcock. Then she disappeared. If she were discovered...
Then she's dead!
And the same people could have killed Rafa. And the others?
Only now they're in jail for crimes they certainly did not commit. And it wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for you.
The rest of the trip to the surface passed in very uncomfortable silence. The three older women charged off the shuttle like a commando team, every action coordinated for maximum efficiency. Venezia made the three necessary calls to the police, the hotel, and the local corporate headquarters. Marta arranged ground transportation. Cecilia gathered everyone's luggage and dealt with local customs. Harris wondered how they'd worked that out when they hadn't said a word after that first confrontation. She was supposed to be the military expert, but she felt like a young ensign on a first live fire maneuver. The ground car driver, after a look at Venezia's ID, drove as if they not only owned the road, but had proprietary rights to a sizable volume of space above and on either side of it. The three older women stared forward in grim silence. Harris, after looking out the window to see two battered trucks diving for the nearest ditch, looked at the back of the driver's neck. When they arrived in the scruffy little town and pulled up at the police station, Venezia led the group inside. Now they were lined up in front of a long gray desk.
I want to see my nephew.
I want to see my niece.
I want to see whoever's in charge.
The uniformed officer behind the desk blinked. The mirage didn't go away. Three angry women, three old angry women, the young-looking one wore a rejuvenant ring, loomed over him like harpies on a cliff. Behind them was a younger but no less formidable woman who had the unmistakable carriage of a military officer.
And your name, ma'am?
I am Lady Cecilia DeMarctos, and my nephew is Ronald Vortigern Carruthers.
Cecilia leaned over as he reached for one of the pencils in a particularly gruesome pottery jar that leaned drunkenly to one side. He began to write out the names laboriously in longhand.
Use your computer, idiot, and hurry up!
What's the problem out here? Let's not have any rowdy behavior, ladies, please!
That was the captain, unshaven after a night of interrogating the most infuriating prisoners he'd seen in years. Then he blinked at Venezia.
Oh, sorry, Madam Glendower Morline. We weren't expecting you.
You should have been. I sent a message from the orbital station and the shuttle port.
The first policeman waved his hand at a desk littered with scraps of paper.
It's here somewhere, sir. The computer's down again.
Your relatives murdered two hotel employees and beat up two others. They discharged firearms in a public hostelry. They destroyed hotel property. They falsified records.
They did not!
And they're being held without bail pending charges, which will be filed as soon as we have all the data.
I found Madam's message, sir.
Forget that! She's here now. Look, as a special favor, I'll let you speak to your relatives one at a time in the interview room with an officer present. But that's all.
A disgruntled silence fell. Finally, Cecilia and Marta nodded.
The Serrano Legacy, Winning Colors, is continued on the next CD.